The question was asked, what do we do about the fact that people here have sometimes have bad traits, and people do steal things? The first thing we could do is recognize that the doors here aren't locked. Many people enter this building, so it's not necessarily someone from the building who stole. That's the first thing we should know.
So someone from outside is going to get my toothbrush?
And when that fails, when it's your toothbrush... I can just tell you that going over to social norms, I won't tell you, it'll disgust you. There was once a girl's bathroom. Never mind, I'll tell you a story a different time. It's not so relevant to this question. So what happens when we encounter problems like that here in the yeshiva? We know it's probably someone else in the yeshiva who came and stole my toothbrush. So I'll share with you what Rav Lichtman taught me. We were once robbed. I had a group of guys in my house, and we had a sum of money that was for tzedakah, and it disappeared. And before the guys came, it was there. And after the guys left, it wasn't there. So I called up Rav Lichtman, and I asked him what he thinks we should do. And I was hurt, because I was responsible for that tzedakah money. We were talking about like over 1,000 shekels. So the first thing Rav Lichtman said was, I feel so bad. There are people who have so much to learn still. Well, that's what we're here for. That was his first reaction. So we have to remember that to an extent, most of the guys that come here are great guys who want to benefit society and want to become better people, and they just don't know how to be religious, but they have good faith. But there are the people who come here that this is their rehabilitation center. There are people who come here who have problems either with stealing or with alcohol or other issues. And the Gemara teaches us that God says, Barati Yetzirah, I created an inclination within a man that will bring him to do bad things. Barati lo Torah Tavlin, and I created the spice that will make it better, and that's called the Torah. Every person has inclinations, and every person has things to overcome. No one's saying that if a person steals, that we should say, okay, well, let bygones be bygones, no problem. He stole my toothbrush, and I'll just tell him thank you. No, that's not what we're saying. Lo yavuzu laganav ki ignov, the verse states in Mishle and Proverbs, no one will forego and just say, the person stole, so he stole. Lenalei nafsho ki irav, even when his thievery was just because he was hungry, the man is starving, so he breaks the window and takes a loaf of bread, even then people won't be quick to forgive him. They'll say, he's a thief. But he was hungry. Even then people don't forgive a person easily. They won't just say, so what's the big deal? No. Social norms are such that we expect the person not to steal. But when it happens and we notice that a person did steal, so one of the things we should do is feel bad for the person. We're not saying that we should condone it. We're not saying that we should make our things available to someone who has an easy time stealing it. And we're not saying we shouldn't try to catch the thief and help him fix his ways. But what we are saying is that at the same time, it shouldn't make us have a big down just because someone stole. So yeah, someone stole. So we all have things to work on, and it's very, very sad. This is a very deep problem if a person has it. But at the end of the day, it's one of the problems that every person can have, and unfortunately this person does that, and he'll have to fix it. So Bessler develops a very interesting thought. He says, we have a sphere of Bechira. I have free choice, that's true. But does my free choice include getting up here and starting make weird noises and stand on my head? Well, theoretically, yes, I could do that. I could stand on the table, stand on my head, and act like a clown, but it's not something that I have to overcome. It's not something that I'm thinking, should I do it, shouldn't I do it, should I do it, shouldn't I do it? Okay, I won't do it, right? I don't have that problem. Some people do have that problem. Everyone has their sphere within which they have the chira. When you and I walk down the street, I hope we don't have to contain ourselves, there's a nice car there, maybe I'll steal it. We don't have that issue. Other people do. Every person has the sphere where they have to have the chira. So every person... It's a disease? I don't know if it's a disease. I know people who came through the machon who are expert thieves, and they told me that. And when they became religious, they stopped being thieves. So much so that they went to the opposite extreme. They are one of the most honest people that I've ever met. And I know their history. They shared it with me. By the way, I make it a point of not knowing your histories. I don't know. Every person is a clean slate when they come here. Whoever wants, shares it with me. Whoever doesn't, it's fine. We start from where we meet, and we move on from there. I try not to know anything. And that's why I sometimes don't know who's Jewish and who's on the verge of being Jewish, who's done Gior and who hasn't done Gior. I know what you share with me. The first 2 months I was teaching here, I had no Jew in my class, and I didn't know. Everyone in the class wasn't Jewish. Everyone was had months to finish their Gior, and I didn't know it. And I was telling them about sensitive issues. And I would have worded it differently if I would have known who I was doing opposite, but I didn't know. After 2 or 3 months, they start telling me we're in a Gior program. I said, Machon Meir has a Gior program? I didn't know. But these guys chose to share it with me. I didn't know. Because it's not what's relevant to me. I'm starting with each person fresh. And part of what Machon Meir affords people is a fresh start. So some people come to Machon Meir and they're not yet ready to take that leap forward. But it is something that some people have to contend with. And call it a disease, call it a weakness. We all have our weaknesses. You and I, hopefully, that's not within our sphere of bechira, of free choice. We don't even think of that. But other people do. So we have to pray for them, like we learned in the beginning of the week. The Brewer Yisot Rabbi Meir, you pray that the sin will leave the land, not the sinner. You don't pray for the sinner's death, you pray for the sin's death. You pray for the sinners to do the truth.
Important point.
Right.
This is
where the base neighbors. Right. Well, that's what we learned on Sunday. We
learned Tekmara,
yeah.
Okay. I was asking my friend Charles, because the verse he was spoken, that no everyday blessing is the sinner.
I hear what he's saying. The Gemara does not seem to go that route, but Rashi on Tehillim does explain that way. So I've always had a question in my mind, why Rashi seems to go against the Gemara. Rashi on Tehillim does explain the way that person said. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. The Gemara seems to conclude like Bruria, that even Rabbi Meir gave in to his wife and said, you're right, we have to pray that the sins will be abolished from the land. We don't pray that the sinners will die. But Rashi on the Pesukim in Tehillim seems to go with Rabbi Meir's initial thought. I don't know.
Well,
maybe.
You're afraid for their death. What would you afraid for their death?